Thank you for sticking with us here at Rosie on the House, 8 o'clock hour, outdoor living hour, continuing our conversation with artificial turf. And I thought we had answered the irrigation question that you were like, it's for cooling it off. But there apparently is more to not irrigating your artificial turf that you'd like to touch on.
There is, Romy. You can leave the irrigation in. I don't advise on it. One, you have active live lines under the grass that can and will break. The substructure is there. The base is there. When that line breaks, it's going to actually cause a big dip in the grass. Your foundation is compromised. Then we have to completely pull the grass up. All these nails that have expanded due to the rust, we have to replace everything, and then it has silica in it. So you're never going to get the same layback.
So there's standards in how many nails you put in, let's say, a piece of hardy backer before you lay tile on top. Is there standards on how many nails that are going across the seam?
There are on different – if you have a complicated one with a lot of lengths, but if you use an S seam, you can use it less. A zipper seam, you can use less. On a straight seam, you want to use more. There's a standard of them, and there is a standard of a type of nail. You do not want to use a galvanized nail. The galvanized nail seems like it's the one you want to use.
Well, yeah, something that won't rust.
Yeah, but the rust is actually going to take this grass and pull it down and keep those seams strengthened because the rust expands. And go look at my grasses that have been 17 years. They're gorgeous, and you can barely see a seam. You'll start maybe after 11, 12 years, you might be able to see because of frost heat. And
mainly heat.
the heat, yeah. So it's actually the contraction from the frost.
Flagstaff might have a little more of the frost.
We get some freezes here. We get those hard freezes in Arizona. But if you get that back and forth, that's where you're going to start seeing a seam over years. When you S it or you zipper it on those special type of seams, strength is 10 times.
So part of the irrigation is right install. If you install over an irrigation, you're just setting yourself up for a huge maintenance problem if there's a leak.
If that's just one of the setbacks. So if we have an irrigation on the lawn to cool it down or whatever you wanted to clean it off or whatever you're thinking of for the lawn, our waters are hard. We have calcium. Calcium is a salt. It's a base. It's white. So when you have calcium, it's not the direct water hitting. It's the mist. So as the water is separating and you're losing that calcium ion, it's going to hit this turf right here. And it'll just touch the tops of it. And then you'll see little white speckles on it. And then it's just going to gradually grow and grow. A stalactite or stalagmite, same exact thing. We have minerals in our water. They're always white or yellowish in color. And it's going to affect this grass. So I've actually seen real grass right next to a putting green. And we didn't do it. It was just one I was working on. And the putting green has a fringe. The real grass was not even watering on the grass. But when the wind would blow, it would blow a little bit of the water on the grass. The putting green, half of it was white. And this was a very expensive putting green. And so they basically are just going to have to redo the whole thing.
I never thought of it from a hard water deposit side. So you're basically just turning your green artificial turf into a white calcium by watering it.
Eventually. And there are areas, Glendale, Phoenix, Scottsdale, whatever area you're in, I'm sure the particulates are different. Some areas, I know in Glendale they have really hard water. It's going to be a faster. You're going to have a lot of problems. We install grass around fountains. The first is chlorine, so you're going to use chlorine in the fountain. It'll go 3 months. You're going to have, and it's because if the water stays intact and does not spill out or they're dropping on the other parts of the water, there's mist from that water. It's going to come on that grass. You cannot get it off. I think there's one product out there that helps. It's just replace it. That's it.
So is there any more reasons to not have an irrigation system? No hard water deposits, no leaks. You're talking about the heat. And Jay Harper always said, I don't care if it gets hot because I'm not going to be standing on it when it's 110 degrees outside anyway.
the benefits of having the water are not worth it to me. There are some benefits to having water in it. It will cool it down in the summer. If your children are out playing in this grass and it's the middle of July, it's 115 out, it's going to cool the
grass
down.
They're not playing on the grass.
But you can squirt it down.
They're not playing outside. not for very long.
No, they don't. They usually play in a pool.
Yeah.
So I always advise people, we will leave the sprinklers in. We'll put them in, whatever you want. Everybody is my boss. So I will give everybody the proper tools, explanation of what is to be done properly. 17 years doing this. A lot of experience, a lot of things I've seen. I see new things now and then. But anyway, if I can tell somebody this, if they choose not to do it, I will do what they ask. But then I put in a caveat on the warranty, say, well, we're not going to warranty against calcium, against any white spots on the grass. Same with the windows. Every company does that.
And so I had a question on that with the windows. If this was a good quality artificial turf and the windows burnt it from the reflection of the sun, can you come back and just cut out a section and replace what was burnt?
On every job, we leave at least a 5x5 piece of that dye lot of grass. So if they lose the dye lot, we can bring in, hopefully they'll still be making that grass. We can bring in that grass. It's not going to be the same dye lot. You will notice a difference. So they only make so much grass in this dye lot. That's it. It's done. Shut it off. Go to another dye lot. It's just like a paint. When they have a paint, you can't really on your car, things like that. And when this gets in the sun, this is going to have tiny change in July and August. You will not see it. But if I put this exact grass right next to it, you'll barely notice a little bit of difference. But then this grass will, if it's the same dye lot, it will meld into this grass. You will never see it. We did a $70,000 putting green. Within 6 weeks, one of the landscapers on the fringe had his blower. It tipped over. We had about a 4x4 melt where the muffler was on that grass.
I thought you were going to say he mowed it.
No. That hasn't happened yet with us.
Oh, good.
Knock on wood. But no, we were able to fix that. We left about 5 pieces for that gentleman. And if he's out there, wonderful man up in that wasn't Silver
Leaf. No, he's just a little burn from a leaf blower exhaust.
That's it. And it's not, it has to be on the physical grass for an amount of time. So it was very hot. It was a metal muffler and it burnt it.
So like, what about food, drinks? I mean, you know, let's say it's like right now, this is a perfect time to be outside. You got a big party watching, you know, the Tigers football this afternoon and You're having the picnic on there. I mean, is food scraps? I mean, do you have to be careful about not eating and drinking on it?
Indestructible. Maybe if you have some dyes, you know.
Maybe not a crawfish boil on it.
A what?
Maybe not do a crawfish boil on it.
Probably not. And then there have been people that have put a barbecue, you know, those charcoal ones, over the grass. And they've cooked their steaks on that short little barbecue thing. The heat from that will melt us. So what we've done, if they ask me, hey, I'm going to cook out of here, we would build a paver
designated
base.
Area.
And that's where they have their, and we'll go with a 6x6 or whatever, beautiful base in there with whatever travertine or pavers, whatever they want. And then they can have their little fire, have it really nice.
Now this,
sit on the grass.
This backing is a lot stronger than carpet. Do you guys ever have situations though, like in carpet where you got to go restretch it or there's a wrinkle or a kink that turns into it from, you know, just walk and wear and tear?
No.
Maybe a windstorm that's lifted a...
No. Once you put the infill and we go about on this one, we would use at least 3.5 pounds of it if it's a supreme rounded silica. So it's a very good silica that goes and it is broomed into this yarn.
So you're not, the infill's not underneath, the infill's on top.
No, the base is underneath. So there's AB quarter minus on the base. And then we would put the infill in here with a special type of broom. It's a gas-powered broom that would broom this. Very stiff tines on it. And
gas-powered broom.
It's a gas-powered round broom.
Is that something I can buy Amanda? She might.
It's not for sweeping because it'll tear your floor to pieces. Okay. And you know what? It doesn't hurt this grass. It would, anything else, it would just destroy. But some people have asked us to re-broom their grass. And if it's international grass, we've tried to do it, and it just rips up this grass. So they have bald spots all over it.
And you said you do 3 pounds per square foot of the infill.
On these longer ones. On this right here, we would do 2 pounds, and this would be Envirofill. So if you're doing a pet turf, we want to use only Envirofill.
And just for a visual, you know, we're probably looking at a half-inch blade length here, and this one's an inch and a half on the higher end.
This is actually 1 inch.
That's a full inch?
That's an inch. This is almost a 2.5 to 3 inch. So it's about 2.5 inches.
So on the short 1-inch one, we're using less infill over the top.
Yeah. And
then there's three other sizes in between these two extremes for, you know, 1 inch, 1.5, 2.
See, that's the pile height right there. When it's all broomed up, you can tell. And when you're walking, so we have done these where they put tables. They have a lot of parties. Children are playing all the time around playgrounds. We would put this. We have another one. It's a playground. It's a little bit higher, maybe a half inch higher. It's more like this. See this one, how beautiful that is? The pet turf, it's a good looking grass when it's in. But these are also for aesthetics and comfort. This is more for just you're going to beat it up every day. This is the perfect grass for that.
You could set more on it like
parties. Square dancing, whatever you want to do.
You know, a cup on that. This one's got a lot more fluff, and you would need something heavier that wouldn't tip over to set anything down.
This
on that
one, you mainly is for just really to show off a gorgeous area. You're not going to get a lot of traffic on this. If you're going to have a heavy traffic, this grass or this grass would be the best. This is intermediate right here, so this could take quite a bit of traffic. And there are things we can do. We can always come back later on and re-broom it, re-silica this area if it does have traffic marks on these, and bring it all back up, make it brand new.
So now, because there's silica on top, and I think Gary's telling me we'll have to get to this one after the break, do you ever have to worry about weeds coming in after it? So we'll save that question for the backside of this break. Like I said, we could do a lot of things here, but we can't stop the clock.